What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, Mike Heck here from MMAfighting.com, reacting to some big news from Sunday night. UFC CEO Dana White just couldn't wait to announce some massive fights, and he delivered from the best division in the sport. White reveals via social media that the co-main event for UFC 299, March 9th in Miami, will be a five-round matchup between former interim lightweight champion Dustin Poirier and surging contender Benoit Saint-Denis. And at UFC 300, April 13th, Charles Oliveira, the former lightweight champion, returns to action, and he will not be fighting Islam Makhachev for the lightweight title, but he will be facing Armin Sarukian. Two huge fights, which means I need two other talking heads to join me to react to this, as I'm being joined by two of my wonderful colleagues from MMAfighting.com, Alexander K. Lee and Jed Bashu. AK, I want to start with you, because when I saw this news when I woke up Monday morning, I thought of you, because as a man who helps spearhead the MMA fighting global rankings, the only rankings that matter, as a man who has been anti-squatting when it comes to rankings, especially in this division, now we have two fights announced where the popular main event mainstay veterans face the new breed, the up-and-comers, if you will. I assume you're quite happy with these fights.
I'm thrilled. This is how MMA should be. This is how life should be, my best friend. We've done a lot of matchmaking shows, Mike, you and I, and we've had a lot of calls for these guys in the top five, top six, top seven to face one of these up and comers, one of these super exciting fight night bonus collecting fighters. Fighters pegged as future champions if they could only get that matchup, and now we have two of them. I was really happy to see this. I was on when this happened. I was on, so I helped Damon Martin and I were up. Damon Martin, by the way, is, if people don't know, Damon Martin is a nocturnal creature. You can find him doing things probably at like 4 a.m. That is when he's at his most active and most dangerous. So this news broke, I think, around midnight, 12:30 Eastern time. And there was some warning from Dana White. We should take this time to tell people for the next couple of weeks, at least, you know, as these cards approach and we're waiting to hear UFC 300 news, have your Dana White alerts on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, because he has been threatening to announce fights, and he apparently got back from some 78-hour fast or something, and he's been on vacation with his family, and he felt like something was going to drop this week. He didn't waste any time. Sunday evening, this comes down. Yes, we get Dustin Poirier, BSD, and Charles Oliveira, Armin Sarukian. So, love these matchups. I have to give Dustin Poirier all the credit in the world. I think I've been one of those people who's saying he's going to be really choosy with however many fights he has left in his career, and a fight with a guy like Benoit Saint-Denis just doesn't make sense. I probably said that exact sentence. Sure enough, here he is. Hopefully they've made the money right for both guys. It is a five-rounder, according to Dana, that they both demanded to be five rounds. It's a very exciting option, and this is a really, really solid co-main event for UFC 299. Anastasia Oliveira and Sirkian. People know I'm a big dope Bronx fan. I don't have a problem with seeing him fight Islam again someday. But even me, again, as someone who's really loved this guy for a lot of his career, was kind of scratching on my head when they were so quick to give him the rematch, even after beating Beniel. So him having to fight someone like Armand Sirkian, right up my alley. Whoever loses this, I don't think their stock drops that much. They're still in the title picture heading into late 2024, 2025. So this is great matchmaking. It's great for the fans, and the UFC knocked it out of the park.
Jed, I was going to ask you which one of these fights was more surprising, but I mean, at least for me, it's pretty obvious that it's Poirier versus Saint-Denis, although you can make some kind of a case for the Oliveira-Sarukian fight since Dana has been so steadfast on Oliveira getting the rematch with Makhachev since Oliveira beat Beneil Dariush. But your reaction to these matchups, and is the Poirier-Saint-Denis fight the clear, more surprising fight at 155?
Dude, I woke up and today was awesome. Like, this rules, guys. There's not enough energy for this emergency reaction pod. Like, they did the thing. We talk about it all the time. Do the thing. The UFC never does the thing. They spent all of 2023 not doing the thing to hilarious and calamitous results. Instead of just booking DDP Izzy, they book DDP versus Robert Whittaker nonsensically, and then that fight collapses and we may never get it. Like, they never did the thing. And we talked all last year. Charles Oliveira is a, you know, all-time great, et cetera, et cetera. One win should not earn him a rematch, particularly given how one-sided that fight with Islam was. He should have to win another one. And he was getting a title fight because nobody else made sense. But once he pulled out, Justin Gaethje did make sense because he had won the, like, now let's do this thing. And then they didn't do that thing. And now they have an opportunity to do that and to have Charles fight the clear guy who he deserves. After Sarukian's dominant kind of showing, we all came out and said, and I honestly think everybody agreed, in a perfect world, Sarukian would fight Charles Oliveira in a no doubt about it number one contender match. That world's not going to happen because Charles Oliveira is probably going to get there, and I don't know what's going to happen with Justin Gaethje. This is all a very weird situation. Instead, they just did the logical thing, and it's awesome. If I woke up and that was the only news I woke up to today, I would be ecstatic because, like, that makes so much sense. And I love to live in a world that makes sense, guys. It's so fun. And then on top of it, you just get the icing, which is they convinced Dustin Poirier to fight BSD. Obviously the most surprising fight that they could book. I think I have gone on several programs and said that fight could never happen because why would Dustin Poirier take it? There is no reason for him to take it other than he has gigantic intestinal fortitude that hangs from him like Sam Cassell in the Big Balls Dance. Like, he is just the man for accepting this fight. It's unbelievable that he would do so. He gains nothing from doing this realistically other than money, and he's not even getting to do it at UFC 300, which was like ostensibly the thing he wanted to do. I have no idea why he accepted it, but God, I'm happy he did. This fight is going to rule. All of us agree that this fight, like, that right there is your on-paper leader. Not a single punch has been thrown in anger in the year of 2024 yet, at the time of us recording this. That fight is leader in the clubhouse for fight of the year already. And this is just a kick-ass way to start the first fight week of the year, boys.
I agree with everything you just said. I will tell you what was the biggest, wait, what moment of everything Dana White said? Because both these fights are great. And I was ecstatic that one, Sarukian is getting his shot. And if you watched or listened to the On to the Next One predictions extravaganza, when it comes to Armin Sarukian, I'm cashing in the briefcase. I'm going all in on Sarukian.
That's a good bet for you now.
I picked him to be the lightweight champion at the end of the year. But here's the thing that kind of stunned me a little bit. And it relates to the Oliveira-Sarukian fight. Because Dana White said, AK, that the winner would face Islam Makhachev next for the title. But Jed brought up a very good point. We also assumed that if they gave Sarukian this opportunity, that means Justin Gaethje would probably get the title shot. But that was not revealed at all. So, AK, if you're Justin Gaethje right now, and you hear Dana's post-fast fight announcement, and you're hearing that these two guys are fighting for the chance to fight Islam Makhachev for the title next, how are you feeling hearing that? Or do you think the UFC has cooked up something else for him that has made him happy?
If you're Gaethje, you and your often vocal manager, to put it kindly, are probably a little perturbed right now. Probably a little perturbed. You want that title shot. You want the title fight money. You want that high-profile event. On the other hand, you can't be too thrown off. I think this does feel like a Dana said situation. We've said this many, many times. There's really no such thing as a number one contender's fight in MMA. We've had situations where they've presented matchups as such and everything works out and it's great and we're all happy and someone wins a fight. We all get the title fight we want with the most deserving challenger. I have to think more often than not that we don't get that case. So for me, this is just Dana hedging his bets. I mean, we don't know what's... Look, these fights haven't even happened yet. I'm supposed to be the Prince of Positivity, but there's a long way to go before 299. There's a long way to go before 300. Fingers crossed, everything goes through. Everyone has a beautiful training camp. There's no injuries and we get these fights. But if not, I'm sure Justin Gaethje is waiting in the wings. I'm sure Mateusz Gamrot is waiting in the wings. Not to say that Gaethje would jump on one of these fights. That might be a little bit strange. Maybe he'd want to face Oliveira again, get a rematch there. But the point is, it doesn't hurt Dana White or the UFC at all to make quote-unquote guarantees like this, to say, yeah, this is so much on the line for this fight. This is a number one contender fight. We just saw this with Kamaru Usman and Khamzat Chimaev. And I don't know if Khamzat's getting the next title fight. He probably can and should, but there's no guarantee. There's no such thing as being guaranteed. If you're a middleweight, you're not stressing over like, oh, I guess I have to wait. I guess Khamzat's getting his turn. No, you're like, I don't know. You just need a big win. You can probably still get in there. It's the same thing with lightweight. So if you're Gaethje, you're a little annoyed. Like you said, Mike, it's possible they've already made things right with him and his team. They've already said, listen, we've got this big money matchup instead. I don't quite know what that could be. I guess we'll speculate that, speculate further either now or on another show. But I don't think you're too worried. I think if it is a surprise, like Jed, you probably woke up, Justin Gaethje probably woke up this morning like, WTF, what the hell is going on? Like, what a great fight, but also, what about me? What about Gaethje? But I don't think he has to be too worried. I would be really, really surprised if we see, like, whoever wins the Armas Sarukyan Charles Oliveira fight, if, like, they book them versus Islam within the next, like, 3 weeks, within a month. I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't think there's anything set in stone here. So, good news for Charles and Armin. Maybe a little bit of an annoying, you know, moment for Justin Gaethje, but nothing to be stressed about. There's a very good chance that Gaethje still jumps over both of them and gets that title shot. So I don't know. Hopefully we see all these guys involved in the title fight before the end of the year, but someone's going to get left out, it feels like.
What do you think, Jed? Where does this leave Gaethje? We talked about this on BTL. What do we do as far as main event here? Is this the beginning of the shuffling of the deck that we sort of laid out? Maybe they do Makhachev Gaethje as the new main event at 299 and then move Cheeto O'Malley to 300. Ooh. Does Gaethje now headline 300? Maybe the main event for UFC 300 is Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway for the BMF.
Why are you taking? Why are you going to ask questions and not let me say that exact take, Mike? That's ridiculously bad hosting because look, one, let's put a pin in and circle back to the reshuffling of the deck idea because that's got legs. I think we're going to get one of two outcomes here. I think this week we are going to have one of two things announced. And it is either, as you said, the UFC has opened up the coffers and they are paying Justin Gaethje to defend the BMF belt against Max Holloway in a fight that will somehow, impossibly, immediately overtake Dustin Poirier versus BSD in the fight of the year race. Like immediately that will be the new leader in the clubhouse if that's announced. I'm not sure that that's the exact splash that UFC 300 wants for like the broader public, but I cannot think of a fight the hardcore fan base would gravitate to more than that as your main event. So I think that's one of two options. I think the other option, and people may find this one a little more hard to believe because of timeline. I think the other option is that when Dana White said the winner is going to face Islam Makhachev, he really meant the winner is going to face the winner of Islam Makhachev versus Justin Gaethje, which is going to headline the Saudi Arabia card. I know that card is set for March 2nd. The timeline is getting tight, but if the UFC is negotiating this quietly, The fighters are prepping. I don't think there's still plenty of time to make that work. And Saudi Arabia is going to be a splash card for them. Every time they do something like this with a new partner, a new market, they are trying to make a big splash. And right now that card does not have a lot going on with it. I mean, again, it's still a little ways out, but there is nothing that's even sort of around it that looks like it could be. I know we kind of have collectively speculated that Khamzat might make sense, but Khamzat with this illness, I don't know how viable that is. Islam fighting here feels like the big splash, and they can just do Justin Gaethje. I think that is still very much in play. But Mike, I love the idea of the shuffle here because Ramadan starts March 10th. You know what happens March 9th? UFC 299, baby. You could shuffle that in, do Gaethje, Islam. Sure, it's in Miami, and that's not like really, there's no major connection there, but there isn't a major connection for Cheeto and O'Malley either. So I would love them to do the shuffle. So I'll say that maybe that's option three, because that I don't think Cheeto or O'Malley would be like, no, I got to fight in Miami. I think they would love the opportunity to headline UFC 300. I think the shuffle's idea is great. I still think that I think the least likely of those scenarios is that Gaethje, Max Holloway, BMF belt headlines 300, because it feels too far-fetched that Gaethje would agree to it and the UFC would say, that's our 300 headliner, but it's not an inconceivable. I still think the most likely outcome is Saudi Arabia gets Islam versus Gaethje, but I love the shuffle idea. That's what should happen at this point.
I love the shuffle idea as well.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
We have four lightweights all vying for big fights. And Dustin Poirier, if he goes out there and beats Benoit Saint-Denis, AK, he's certainly back in the title picture. That's for sure. He'll probably need another win or two, but Dustin's a very popular guy. And if he goes out there and beats a guy like freaking Benoit Saint-Denis, we saw what a win like that did for Charles Oliveira when he beat Beniel Dariush. So, does Charles Oliveira, is it clear that he has the most to lose here in this set of fights? Because he had a title shot against Islam Makhachev. The timing worked out great. Then he gets cut, has to bow out of the fight, and now he gets Sarukian instead of getting the title fight. You have to imagine if Charles Oliveira loses to Armin Sarukian, he's going to be in a really tough spot. If Sarukian loses, yeah, he's got work to do. If Saint-Denis loses, yeah, he's got a little more work to do. And as Jed kind of said, you can make a case that Dustin Poirier doesn't have a ton to lose here because he's stepping up and taking this dangerous fight against a guy that not a lot of people know outside of the hardcore fan base. So is it clear that Oliveira has the most to lose here, or can you make a better case for somebody else?
Yeah, well, it can't be Dustin or BSD. That's out of the question. Can't be Dustin, as Jed so eloquently put it earlier. He is, but just by accepting this fight, he has once again raised his profile, maintained that he is one of the baddest MFers to ever compete in all of MMA. Win or lose, it doesn't matter. You know, unless he gets... even if he gets a 15-second starching, which is nearly impossible, I'm just going to just say now that's just not going to happen. Even then, I don't think his reputation gets hurt much. You get the feeling it's going to be a great competitive fight. If BSD comes out on top, great for him. And of course, Benoit Saint-Denis cannot lose much from losing to Dustin Poirier, one of the greatest lightweights of all time. And again, this is really Saint-Denis' first step-up fight. So if he loses, we get a little bit of a better gauge of where he is at this stage in his career. And then, you know, we recalibrate later for him. So it can't be Dustin. It can't be BSD. Charles, the obvious choice. I'll make an argument that Armin does have something to lose here. He's still really young. He's 27 years old. We still feel like he's in his prime, entering his prime. It does feel like, oh, he loses to Charles again. Kind of like what I said, BSD. He loses to DoBronx. DoBronx, one of the greatest lightweights of all time, former lightweight champion. There's no shame in it. And there's no shame in it. But I will say at some point, are we going to have start putting a ceiling on what we think Armin can become? I won't. I just wonder if he loses in a disappointing way. Again, maybe getting dominated by Oliveira. Just saying it sounds bizarre. I don't think Sirkian can really be dominated by anyone. But if that happened, that's the only situation where I could see people breaking out like, oh, he was exposed, or like, oh, he's never going to win the big one because, and they'll point to, well, he lost Islam in his first fight, which is, you know, whatever. He lost that quote unquote, that very close fight to Gamrot. So he'll have three losses to top eight, top five guys. And that could be a knock on him. And again, this is just making the argument why it's not Charles. Charles is the obvious choice. It feels like if he loses to Armin, that championship window is going to close and narrow ever so slightly. Again, he's not out of it because he's Charles Oliveira. He can always beat anyone and get back in there. But Charles definitely has the most to lose. But there's something on the line for Armin as well. I do think there will be some narratives coming out if he can't beat Charles. There'll be some. He cannot beat a top. Well, he beat Darius, excuse me. But outside of that, he can't beat a top, I don't know, five guy in their prime. Something like that. I feel like there'll be some negativity towards Armin. But Charles Oliveira is the answer.
Who has the most to lose here, Jed?
That's a really tough question. I think Charles is a chalk answer. I like a lot of what AK argued. I am not entirely sure that he is the correct answer because I always sort of approach this question from both sides of it. It's like, yes, what Charles has, everyone has something to lose in any given fight, obviously. What Charles also has the added loss that, or the added part of this, that a loss really sets him out of the title conversation. Maybe for good, though I would not say that that's determinative. Like he's still young enough. He is a big enough name, a former champion. Two wins puts him right back in there. And he can beat a lot of dudes. Like if he loses to Armand, but then comes out and beats a Matush Gamrot and beats, you know, Rafael Fiziev or a rematch with Dustin Poirier, whatever, like that puts him right back in there. And he has so much already established. Like if he loses the rest of his fights, he's still an all-time great. He's a Hall of Famer. Armand does not have that. So if he loses, this sets him back. And yes, he's young, but I think we all sort of assume that youth will out and that, okay, he'll have more opportunities. But sometimes you're Dan Marino and you get to the Super Bowl early in your career and you just never get back. Like Armand absolutely has something to lose here. I think Poirier... probably to me is the actual one who has the most to lose in this, and that he still has all the Charles Oliveira stuff too. Like he is a legend, he is set, but unlike Charles, and this isn't totally fair, but it is true, he is not a UFC champion. He's an interim champion. He fell short in his title aspirations. He fell short in the BMF title aspiration, and most critically, he's the only one of these four men that a loss is the second one in a row. And just by the nature of how BSD fights, it's not like it's going to be a happy loss. Like if he loses, it's probably going to be the second really violent end in a row for him. He's old in fight years. He got a lot of tread on the tires and he has looked great despite it. He's the one that of all the dudes coming out of this with a loss, he's the guy I think has the least path back to kind of where he would aspire to be and is probably the closest to retirement with the loss just because he has already spoken about not wanting to stay, like overstay his welcome, et cetera, et cetera. I think Poirier has the most to lose, even though his career is already, you know, rock solid, locked in, like holistically in that respect.
Yeah. And then like on the other side, you can make a case for all these guys. Poirier wins. He's back in the title picture. Oliveira wins. He's got a real good opportunity. But if Oliveira wins like a tight decision, but Benoit Saint-Denis just clubs Dustin Poirier, like, is Dana White going to show up to the press conference and be like, yeah, man, I'm a man of my word, and Charles is getting the next title shot? I don't know.
I still think he would, but it becomes a question.
Yeah. And the guy who's probably lost the most at all is Touche Gamrot, who is fighting RDA in a fight no one even remembers has been booked, and what? No one's even talking about him. And he was a friggin' backup fighter for the most recent title fight, which he's is fighting crazy. RDA?
He's fighting RDA? What?
Yeah, he's fighting RDA.
Stop it.
It's true.
What?
I mean, honestly, that kind of works out because there's no good other opponent for him to fight. So right now, that's the best of the options available. So at least he's got that going for him. But he's already fought, you know, Beneil and Jalen Turner, and Fazeev's dead for a while. Like, there's nobody else for him to fight because Michael Chandler's still holding out hope.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's announced. Yeah. He announced it. It's Connor great. Announced it, Jay.
It's great because Gamrot gets to pick up the pieces of whatever happens here. Like, how he gets to look at these four and be like, one of you losers, it's go time, baby. Which one's it going to be except for Poirier? So I think if Poirier loses, there's a 0% chance he fights Matouche Gamrot.
Unless RDA beats Matouche Gamrot, which is...
I still think he wouldn't fight him. I think what I've, you know, it's been, I haven't had a lot of time, but I was trying to figure out, like, why did Dustin Poirier take this fight? Because we all just sort of thought he wouldn't. And because, like, you know, he just straight up, like, Heisman'd Beneil. He's like, I don't want to fight Beneil. I have no interest in fighting Beneil. But he's fighting Benoit Saint-Denis, who's, like, much lower ranked in the UFC's ranking. Probably has less of a profile, even though he's getting some. And then I just thought, it was like, oh, it's because BSD's awesome. Like, and I like Beneil a lot. Beneil has been a very fun fighter, but Beneil also has fights that are not the most captivating to watch. BSD won, you know, I did the 2023 All-Stars. BSD was the all-pro of lightweight. Three fights, three finishes, three bonuses. Like, just an unbelievable 2023 from that man. Yeah, that he's down to clown with people who are gonna get in there and get busy. And while Beneil Dariush is good and has been exciting, he does not have the same aura about him. Matouche Gamrot, exactly the same. I think an incredibly fun and exciting fighter. That's just not the kind of dude Poirier is going to get in there to get busy with. Like, I think it would be more likely he would fight Rafael Fazeev than it would be he'd fight Gamrot coming off this.
Yeah.
I'll say also, I think the other reason Poirier picked BSD, even though he has the least to gain from this matchup, I think he should be pretty confident he can beat him. Because BSD, super exciting, super dangerous, has not fought anyone close to the level of Dustin Poirier. And Dustin Poirier and his team know that. And I like BSD. He's a guy who I think has the talent to fight for a title someday, but he's not a lock. He's not a lock like Armin. Not that we're necessarily comparing those two, but Armin is a guy, again, since he came to the UFC, we're like, okay, well, this guy probably, from what we know from his pre-UFC work, from just what we saw in the fight with Islam, his age at the time, he's like 24. We're like, yeah, Armin's, if everything, you know, projects as we think it will, he's going to fight for a title someday. Benoit Saint-Denis, even after the first two fights, you know, when he bounced back from that his bad welterweight debut, dropped back down to 155, we're still kind of like, oh, he's a fun action guy. And it was only last year that we're like, holy crap, this guy could be a world title guy. But Matt Favola, Thiago Moises, great wins, nowhere near Dustin Poirier. So if you're Poirier's team, you're pretty tactical about this. He knows, one, the stuff we've talked about, he's going to get a lot of credit just for taking this fight. And two, they probably think they can win. They probably think
they have a
very good chance of winning. I'm kind of tipping my hand here, and I'm sure some things can change before our actual predictions. I'm predicting a Dustin Poirier win. So that's another good reason for him to take this fight.
Yeah, you made you made a great point about the aura of BSD, because Beneil has to do the thing to make this fight more interesting. Gamrot would have to do the thing to make this fight more interesting. BSD don't have to do anything. He just needs to show up and look at the camera and look scary. That's all he needs to do.
And it's just like honestly, just in the last few hours, as this has, everyone's woken up and this is sort of unveiled. If they had announced Dustin Poirier versus Beneil Dariush, are we emergency potting right now? Probably not. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, it's a great fight. I'm glad they're doing it. no one's like, hey, that's the front runner for fight of the year at the moment. Like, that is, Poirier knows his game, and game respects game. And I agree with AK. I think he can look at BSD and think, this is a really opportune time to get a ton of credit and beat a dude. Because look, BSD is not a defensive savant. That's just not part of his game. And Poirier is like really, really good defensively. And we saw how that worked the first time Poirier fought Justin Gaethje. And I think you can look at BSD and be like, there's a lot of similarities going on there. And he can view that as an opportunity to get this one. So I am so pumped about that freaking fight, man. Yeah, I just straight up did not think it was possible. And the fact that it is, that they have made it happen, is, it's my most anticipated fight of 2024, other than DDP Strickland, because I think that that's hilarious.
How different are our first week January vibes regarding the UFC this year?
We talked about it in BTL last week. Yeah, it's like, hey, at least we started better.
We started way better compared to the vibes of week one in 2023. I'll tell you that right now. So I'm happy.
So it seems like you both are picking Dustin Poirier as of right now, but things could change.
I think so.
What about?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, Jed, I'll start with you. Quick prediction. Obviously, this can all change. Charles Oliveira, Armin Sarukian, UFC 300. What do you got? Who do you think gets this one?
I'm going to take Sarukian. I really wish this was five rounds. It being three is interesting. One, title eliminator should always be five rounds. It's categorically insane that they would ever be three. Two, I think that probably does favor Armin. I think I would favor Armin anyway, but Charles Oliveira is the exact sort of fighter who you just want to give more time to. Because he is such a finishing threat that the longer the fight goes on, that's always a possibility. Whereas I think Sarukian can beat him violently. We've seen that he got hands now and is just like really developing into this unbelievable fighter. And it would be great if he does that to like really state a claim for, hey, my rematch with Islam's going to go very different. But I think if he gets in trouble at any point, he can just tackle him and sit on Oliveira for 10 minutes and win the fight. And so Oliveira, not the easiest man to take down, but very content to play guard at times. I think that cost him in the first fight with Islam, as I said it would, and maybe he won't approach it the same way, but 15 minutes, I got to favor Armand. If it were 25, I probably still would, but it'd be a lot closer.
Okay. Are you with Jed?
I'm such Charles Oliveira stan. It's unabashed. I just feel like Sarukian matchup wise is really good for Sarukian. I don't want to always harp on age. It's probably one of the biggest things I mentioned when we're predicting fights, but the Charles Oliveira has just been through it, man. He's been through it. He'll be, I know he's 34 now by the time the fight rolls around. Okay. So he just recently turned 34. And he's even older in fight years. He's one of those guys, right? He started so young. In the UFC, he started so young. He's not a guy who was like, he started young just a pro and then got to the UFC when he was seasoned. We've seen him grow up. He was a baby. He was like a baby when he started the UFC at 145 pounds. So we know what this guy has been through. And he can compete at the highest level with anybody. But this I do see as a proper stepping stone fight, for lack of a more respectful term. The Beneil win showed a lot to me for Armin Sarukian. It's why I'm picking, like, I pick Poirier over, you know, BSD, because I just haven't seen Saint-Denis knock off a high level guy, super high level guy, say, with respect to some of those guys. But we just saw Sarukian just run through Beneil Dariush, which very few people have ever done. And it's hard to ignore that. Recency bias, again, is probably driving this pick, but I do have to go with Armin to do the thing and beat beat Charles, and then make a very strong case that he should be the one to move on to fight Islam instead of Justin Gaethje again. We'll see how that whole situation shakes out. But it's going to be my best friend. You're right. It's going to be Armin's year, man. It's going to be his year.
This fight's going to be 3 minutes of absolute chaos. And I think Sarukian is the last man standing. Wow. After that 3 minutes, it's going to be like a cartoon Looney Tunes fight, which is dust everywhere. And I think Sarukian comes out of that room with the win and a finish in the first round against Charles Oliveira. A fun, crazy ass paced fight. And then Sarukian's going to go on and hopefully fight either Makhachev or Gaethje. We'll see what happens. But I want to see Makhachev Sarukian 2 so badly.
Think about the winner, like how much hype the winner will get for a title fight. Like it is, no one gave a shit about Charles Oliveira Islam 2. Like no one cared about it because we had watched it. It was definitive. Yes, he beat Benil Dariush, but like, okay. And I have maintained that Charles Oliveira, like these are the two dudes I am the most interested in watching fight Islam from a in-cage perspective. And the winner of this will be like, yep, I just lock it up. I don't care that they are both rematches for Islam. The winner of this is going to be undeniable, and it is going to be so much. Like, this is the thing. If this is what's to come for the UFC this year, whoo, 2024 is going to be the payoff from the insanity that was 2023.
Love it. Love it. And who knows? We might be back later on this week to do another one of these because Dana has said he's got more fights to announce. He said on Tuesday he was going to announce more 300 fights. So maybe we'll get a main event. Maybe we'll get some undercard stuff. But
at some point, you'd hope we'd get a main event.
Yeah, we need a freaking main event. Jeez, maybe we'll get an answer on
I
what,
think he's just delaying because he doesn't want to do. He doesn't want to say Leon Bilal until the last moment because he knows that it's going to land so flat. He's like,
sneak that one in. Slide
let's
that
try
one
and
the fence.
Let's. Oh, look at all these other fights and ooh, Islam versus Gaethje at UFC Saudi Arabia. And by the way, Leon Edwards is main eventing UFC 300.
He's on the phone with Masvidal trying to get him to fight Leon Edwards so bad right now. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully we have more answers on that main event question possibly on Tuesday. But if that's what happens, we'll be back to react to all of it. So thank you all very much. A lot to be excited about. For AK, for Jed, I am Mike Keck. Thank you for listening. Stick with us at MMAfighting.com for more UFC news in regards to possibly UFC 300. We'll see you later.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the future of entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.